All right. Thank you for that, Brother Rawl. And I appreciate those that are willing to come in and sing during our live stream here over these last few weeks. And I thank them for that. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I do want to encourage you. I know how things work. When something first starts and it's new, you know, we adapt to it and we're excited about it, and you know, man, we're in and all of that. But I know as things stretch out, sometimes we start to get used to some things. So I would encourage you, make sure that when we're doing this, that we're having church at home. And now before I get criticized, oh, church is assembly. Okay, you know what I'm saying. All right, don't it's not semantics with me. This is what we're doing for right now. And so I know we're not gathering together, and I look, when church is back together, staying at home watching a live stream as opposed to going to a church service is not church. We're doing this now because we are understanding the situation we're in, and we're willing to help in our community. But I will say this, if it comes to the point where they want to open up everything but the churches, we're going to have a problem. But I'll get on that another time. The point is, let's make sure that we're taking this serious at home. Don't come dragging in, you know, and laying sideways and falling asleep during the message. Although some of you go ahead because you fall asleep during the church service here too. So I don't want to mess up your routine, okay? But thanks for sticking with us. We're going to look at something. I've been a series of messages. It's not necessarily been a specific series, although really all of the Sunday morning messages have tied into some type of comfort, faith, overcoming fear. And I want to look at that again this morning. I want us to understand that we only get one shot in life. That's it. One. We only have one life to live. And I hope the desire of your life is to live your life for Jesus Christ. I hope our desire as Christians is, Lord, I know I have things to do in my life. I know I got responsibilities, but really the number one focal point in my life is I want to live for you. I want to live for you. And we need to make that decision on our own. Now, even wrapped up inside of that, I'm living for Christ, we need to decide, how are we going to live for Christ? There are different ways to do that. There are some weaknesses we can bring into our life, even for those of us who are Christians and are seeking to live our faith. This morning, we're going to look at two options. You see, we can be timid in the way we live our faith, or we can be triumphant in the way we exercise our faith. I'll be honest with you. I'll be kind here. I don't want to be timid. It seems sometimes, and I probably should say this on a Sunday night, but I'll say it now, that, you know, we think to be kind and loving as a Christian, we need to act all timid and all that. Listen, that's nonsense. You know, this picture of Jesus walking around somebody that looks like he's malnutritioned, wearing a dress, okay, looks effeminate. Do you know that's not Jesus Christ? Jesus was not timid at all. When he went to the temple, and on his own, he blew over all the money changers' tables and all that. That took courage and that took guts. And so, in our faith, sometimes we live our faith very timidly. I think we ought to live it triumphantly. During the outbreak of the Civil War in the 1860s, Lincoln had a general named George McClellan. He very skillfully at the beginning built an army. Early on in the war, he won some key battles. But as the war went on, he had a weakness. He was timid. He always felt that he was outnumbered in his army, which he wasn't. And it cost him. And it got to the point where Lincoln got so irritated with him, he just replaced him with somebody else. I remember each year we have church on Sunday night during the Super Bowl, even when the Rams were in the Super Bowl, which is kind of a good thing because they stunk anyhow that night. But our family will record the game, And our family will afterwards, we'll go and we don't find out the score. We'll watch the game. I remember several years ago, it was, I believe, Carolina and Denver. And remember one of the last drives of the game, Carolina was behind, but they could have caught up. Into the game, the key part of the game, and I don't know if you guys remember this, and he fumbled the ball. The ball's on the ground. If they don't get the ball and Denver gets the ball, that's it. Game, set, match. I don't know if you remember, Cam Newton, not criticizing you, Cam, if you're watching, he took a step in to get the ball, and he saw the other people's coming, and he jumped back. How many remember that? I'm like, what was that all about? What in the world was that all about? He was afraid to get hit. The game is on the line, brother. Now, I'm not a Carolina fan, you can tell. And let's transfer that. Several years ago, we watched, I remember John Elway. He had never won a Super Bowl. And the guy's like 105 years old. It was towards the end of his career. And he was running for a first down. He dove in the air and got whacked and spun around and hit the ground. But can I just tell you something? He wasn't timid. In our faith, we can either choose to be triumphant and go for it or be timid and set back. I don't want to be timid. Now, let's look at the story here in the Bible. Jairus comes to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. She's very ill. By the way, he was the ruler of the synagogue. He's the one in charge of the public services, and he would set everything up. He was a man of reputation and wealth. I like this about him. Look at verse 41 of chapter 8 that we read this morning. In verse 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell." Now, look, this guy's in charge. Reputation, wealth. And what does he do? He comes to Jesus because of a problem in his life, and he fell at Jesus' feet. And he besought him. He begged him that he would come to his house. It took a great deal of humility for him to approach Jesus and ask for his help. By the way, we ought to always come to the Lord in humility. When things are going well, it's very easy not to have to come to God, isn't it? Well, I love the Lord, but everything's on autopilot right now. But when problems come and things happen, then we need to come to the Lord. You know what a good thing is? Always come to Him in humility, even when things are going well. If things are going well for you, you know why they're going well for you? Because Jesus is making it go, allowing it to go well. And that can change. Well, he tells Jesus, "You need to come and help my daughter." Jesus starts to travel with him to his house. Now, we didn't read verse 43 and on because there's a little interlude there. A lady comes and she's sick and she touches Jesus, gets healed, and Jesus stops for a few minutes and like, all right, let me deal with this lady here. And I could just think of him in the background like, what are we doing? Why are we waiting? My daughter, my only daughter is sick and come on, and we got to get going. I could imagine that. And you know what the fear of his heart is? Jesus isn't going to get there in time. We've got to hurry. What are we doing sitting here? And exactly what happens is what he feared would happen. Someone comes to him right after that as they're going to get back on their way and says, "Don't worry about it, she's dead." Everything, though, was in God's time. And Jesus says, "Fear not, we're going to go there, don't worry about it." But this guy's thinking, Jairus is thinking, "Man, what if we would have just hustled to get there? What if there wouldn't have been a distraction? Would we have got there in time?" But Jesus helped him in verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" Fear not. Don't let this bad news crush you. If he really believed and knew who Jesus was going to go to his house. But all this is in his head. He goes, "Don't worry. Don't let it crush you. Believe only. Don't let the fear push the belief out of your out of your mind. You had faith to come to me in the first place, so just keep believing. She shall be made whole. Everything's going to work out." You see, Jesus reiterates, as he mentions over, as we hear many times in the Bible, fear not. Fear not. Don't fear. By the way, why? The just shall live by faith. That is mentioned four times in the Bible. Why? Because Jesus was trying to fill up his, you know, 1,000-word report? No. Because it's important. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:36, the just shall live by faith, and you cannot live by faith if you are living in fear. We must battle and be victorious over fear. Fear makes us timid. I'm not jumping in after the ball. I'm not going to fight this battle because even though I have enough to win, I'm fearful. The only way we can reject all that is false around us is by faith. We have to cling to a life that's governed by truth. And truth does us no good if we don't have faith in that truth. We don't make it on fairy tales. It's amazing. People throw all these little things. You know, I saw an ant. You didn't see anything. We need to see the truth of the scripture. We can't get by opinions. We need facts. By the way, there's a lot of opinions flying around out there. I don't really care about opinions. I want to know the truth. And if your opinion's attached to the truth, okay. But we'll listen to something and it sounds good, but what's the truth? Faith is so important. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It doesn't say it's hard to please him. It doesn't say it's a struggle. It says it's impossible. Let me explain what impossible means. It ain't happening. If we're not living in faith, trusting God and going forward, we're not pleasing him. Not that fear doesn't rear its ugly head. Not that fear sometimes doesn't well up in us, but we suppress it. I like the verse says, we take every thought and bring it into obedience to Christ. Some ridiculous thought comes in our mind. It's like, that's not scriptural. And we make it obedient to Christ. Faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 23 says something even harder. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God wants us to live by faith. So, let's look at the two options we have when it comes to being timid or triumphant. We'll look at the negative first, and then we'll end with the positive. First of all, if our first option is to be timid, if we are timid, fear wins. Fear wins. Now, what would cause us to be timid? Let's look at some things in this story that could have caused Jairus to be timid. First, look at verse 42. There's the delays. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. And then later on, the people thronged him, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. So here he is. They're on the way to the house, and Jesus is walking, and you know how that is. This guy's thinking, we better get here. He better get here. And all of it. And now there's a delay. This lady comes, and Jesus is, that's a whole other story. By the way, that story will be next Sunday morning, okay? But there's an interruption. And yes, he probably wanted the lady healed. Yes, he wanted Jesus to deal with her, but in the back of his mind, he's thinking, can he do this later? Not selfishly, he's delays. That's the situation. He's thinking back, my daughter is laying in a bed. She's not doing well. That's why he came to Jesus in the first place. Delays. Isn't that how problems go? They come at the wrong time, and they leave a lot longer. They leave a lot farther out than they should. By the way, and take this for what it's worth, I am over this whole thing. I'm not saying I want people to die. I'm not saying we're fighting the thing. I'm just tired of being, I want to get back to normal. I'm tired. I understand what we're doing. Okay, I get it. But doesn't mean I like it. I'm impatient. You say, what does that mean? Be here Thursday night. We're going to talk about patience, and I'm going to preach to myself. I don't like delays. I don't. I want it done 5 minutes ago. I don't want to hear about it. There's a phrase I learned. I'll use it with the staff all the time now when they're doing something. Don't tell me about the labor pains. Deliver the baby. I just want to hear about it. Just get it done. They do, by the way. I'm just messing around. But that's how that you. A lot of you are probably like that too. Yes, I don't like delays. But you know what? That's where we're at right now. Now, by the way, delays can help us. Just in this situation, there's a lot of things that I've learned that we're doing as a church now that are things we can bring back, that we're going to keep with us when we get back to having church together. There's a lot of good things I've learned. I put in my office the other day, I was just sitting down, I'm like, what I have learned during this virus. Point number one, I'm learned to be irritated, okay, but I cross that one out. But it's like, there's some things I learned that have been very helpful. And I think you've learned some things too. But you know what? I don't like delays. Could you imagine him? So sometimes when delays come, it causes us to start being timid in our faith. Because we want it done now. Why? Because we feel it's never going to be done. Delays. What else causes us to be timid? Defeat. Verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Now, I don't like to read into scripture, I'll be honest. I don't like that. But maybe, just maybe, he was walking with Jesus. They got done with the lady of issue next Sunday morning. They got done with her. And then they start to walk. I wonder if he saw the man come and he's like, oh no. There's only one reason he'd be coming. It's bad news. You know how that is? Defeat. It's over. The thing that he wanted, it seems like it's dead. I've said this before. I saw years and years ago, and it just stuck with me, the old comic strip Ziggy. Someone told him, said, Ziggy, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And he replied, yes, but when the tough get going, the going gets tougher. That's how it is. We live in a negative where defeat is everywhere. I remember a comic strip I read years ago. I don't remember what it was. But here's a coach up, and he's in front of his team. And he's giving the speech, and he says, listen, one thing I can't stand is quitters. If you're a quitter, I don't want you on the team. Are any of you in here quitters? And it goes to the next box, and you see a little thing like, I'm a quitter. Another guy goes, I'm a quitter too. And then it goes to the last box. He goes, that wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't the fact they were the assistant coaches. But people quit. We think we're defeated. We think we're down. And here it is. It's over. The thing he wanted. Things sometimes seem to get worse. See, we think that we try to live by faith and we try to do the right thing in difficult times. And we think just by the fact that we started trying that all of a sudden it's going to just immediately get better. That's not necessarily true. It is true that God's with us. It is true that regardless of what's happening around us, we're trusting him, but it doesn't mean it's immediately going to be solved. Sometimes you got to go through darkness to get to the light. You know Job. How did he feel? Hey, I'm going to get the order out of order. Hey, the Sabians come and they stole everything. And he's thinking, that's horrible. This guy's telling him, here comes the next one. Oh, there's a tornado. And all this stuff happens. And finally, one after another. And he's like, it can't get any worse. And then it's like, your children are dead. It got worse. How do you deal with that? I'll be honest with you. I would struggle with that. But Job had great faith. Listen, when it seems like we've lost, that's not the time to quit. It's the time to learn to win. Now, you won't understand this. I like hockey. That's my favorite sport. Say, we don't care. Well, you can get saved. Okay. But one of my favorite teams, I love the Kings and the Ducks, but one of my favorite teams was the old Edmonton Oilers, the 80s. Probably the greatest team ever assembled. This was this young team. They were all about 19 or 20 when they played together. They were the best team, and they played one of the, before they won the Stanley Cup, the year before they played the Islanders, who had won four in a row. And they really should have beat them. They were a younger team. They were a better team, faster team, and they lost. And so Wayne Gretzky and another player said after they got done, they got dressed, and they're leaving the auditorium. They're walking, and these guys, they said, we felt great. We weren't injured. We're young. We're like, why did we lose? And he said he walked by the Islanders' dressing room. He looked in, and he thought they'd all be celebrating. He goes, they're all sitting there. They had ice bags on their knees. He goes, they weren't celebrating. They were all trying to get healed. And he said, we learned a lesson that day. We didn't put in enough to win. We weren't willing to fight. In the next several years, I think they won like 4 out of 5. But they learned a lesson. Like, listen, nothing comes easy. See, that's what we want. We want everything easy, and as soon as it doesn't go our way, what happens? We bolt. Don't be timid just because you suffered a defeat. And then there's a disconnect, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, okay, here Jesus heard it. The guy comes and says, she's dead. Jesus is going to jump right up. Jesus answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So where's the disconnect? Wait a minute. Jesus is telling me she's going to be made whole, but he delayed and she died. What's that all about? How can he tell me she's going to be healed and he didn't hustle there right away to heal her? What is going on? I don't understand what he says and what is really happening. Disconnect. Why? Why? See, we have such a disconnect. We hear what God says. We say we believe it, and then we filter it through what is going on around us. And we allow what is going on around us, more often than not, to be determining the factor how we react instead of going back to what we said we believed. I mean, he came to Jesus in the first place. He had to have some faith, but there's a disconnect there. By the way, so many Christians say we love God, say we believe the scriptures, say we're in on Jesus Christ, but as soon as a problem comes, instead of having faith, we say, well, that didn't work. Let me go try something else. Doesn't work. That's a disconnect. Our life needs to match up with what we said. Why do we put God on trial every time? If things don't go exactly like we want, so what do we do? Just stick with the plan. Jesus is like, it'll be all right. I know you're kind of confused right now. I'm telling you she's going to be healed, but she did. I know all this is going through your mind, but don't worry. Just let's go. Let's go do what we said we're going to do. Let's still go to the house. By the way, what do I do when I'm disconnected? Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Read your Bible every day. Spend time with God. Be the Christian that God wants you to be. Trust God to help you in hard times. Be faithful to all the church services. By the way, when we get back to having church, don't get to the saying, well, you know, all right, I got through this problem. It's all good. No. We need to be together. Disconnect. Now, those things can cause us to be timid. How can we be triumphant? That's our other option. We can either be timid and fear wins, or we can be triumphant and faith wins. What are some of the things that will help us to be triumphant and our faith will win? Let me give you a couple. First, we got to reject. Verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. He limited who was involved with this. Why? Not everyone was allowed to be part of the solution. He only had you, mother and dad, yeah. You three guys come in. Everybody else wait. And we're going to see some other people here. But you know what happens in our problems? We run to everybody but to the right people. We don't run to the right people. You know what? People have a lot. People have sincere hearts and people tell you some things. But can I just tell you something? Not everybody knows what's going on. You don't need to listen to everybody. Not everybody knows your situation, okay? They just don't. Situation, when we first moved back to California before we started the church, we were going to a church, And we were going to Gethsemane, and my wife and I were in a Sunday school class, and they were showing a series on finances from somebody else. And they had their little formula, and it was good. I'm not saying it's wrong. But this guy had his little formula of how you should build your budget. And he made some comment. He goes, listen, for your housing, you should only put this percentage. And it was really low. I don't care where you live. God can make it real. And everybody in the class started laughing because we live in California and that's not reality. Okay? It's really nice to say that when you live in Wichita because no one wants to buy a house in Wichita. If you're watching from Wichita, I'm sorry. Okay? Buying a house in Wichita is not the same as buying a house in California. Can I get a witness? And I don't want a guy who lives in Wichita telling me, some of the brethren on the internet, you know, bless God, we're having church. We don't care what the government says. I know, you live in a town of 50 and you have 12 people in your church. Have at it. Okay, but don't criticize me because we can't do that. Anyhow, okay, I'll move back to reality here. But sometimes, look, people don't know what they're talking about. Don't listen to it. By the way, and let me just throw this. One of the things, be careful who you're listening to through this situation. You know, our media lies. And I'm not, this isn't a Trump thing or whatever, but listen, if he came out and said, air, solve this problem, they'd come tell you, you're telling us to breathe? Okay, why don't we just get the facts from the scripture? Let's not listen to all this nonsense. I heard this from somebody. It's like, that was from 25 years ago. It doesn't work. Okay? I know the scripture always works. You have some problem. It used to amaze me. I'd sit in a break room when I worked at the warehouse, and I'd see these guys, and this guy's giving a guy's marriage counsel. And I'm like, that guy's on his third wife. I don't want marriage counsel from him. Okay, we'll move on. Reject. Be careful. Get the right people in. You know who should be around you when you're having a problem? People that have a strong faith. People that encourage you, not people that discourage you. There's discouragers out there everywhere. You could be having a good day. You know the story of the guy, he's going to jump off the bridge. And a lady runs, no, don't jump off the bridge. Please, just give me 5 minutes. And they talk for 5 minutes, and then they both jumped off the bridge. There's people like that. Okay? Let's find people. I like people that encourage me when I'm down. I like people that are encourage me. When you're going through a problem, they're like, yes, that's a problem. But can I tell you something? You can get through that. That's what we want. Receive. Receive if you want your faith to win. Verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. So as he gets the crowd, says, we're the only ones going in. Here's a group of professional mourners. Here they are. They're all having a pity party. And Jesus said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. He knew what he was going to do. And all the negative people are like, huh, you can laugh him to scorn. Huh, what do you don't know what you're talking about. So now at that point, Jairus had the decision to make. Who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to Jesus who said, don't worry about it? Or am I going to listen to this crowd over here? You know what? Sometimes we don't get encouragement because we don't want to receive encouragement. We want to listen to the people we should reject, and we want to reject the people we should receive. We make mistakes. Listen, encouragement. Find encouragement. Accept encouragement. Don't live in pity party. Well, you know, things are going bad, blah, blah. Okay, but having a pity party is not going to. Look, when something comes that's a problem, you have one or two options. Accept it and drown in it. Or get up and go forward and make the best of it. If we're not going to receive encouragement, you know where you get encouragement? You get encouragement from the Word of God. The Word of God. Make sure you're in the Bible. Listen, God can speak to you in a way that nobody else can. You'll be sitting there and you'll be thinking of something and you'll be reading a verse and God will just like, boom, it'll stand out. That's what you needed for that day. Find verses that are comforting to your situation. And then get encouragement from God's people. By the way, don't be too proud to have someone pray for you. Don't do that. That's what we're here for. I know this, if I'm going through a problem, I want someone praying for me. And I know if you're going through a problem, we want to pray for you. We're here for you. By the way, not just because I'm a pastor, but as a Christian, and we ought to all be for one another. Our church family, pray for one another. And then I like the next thing he did to have a triumph of faith. Remove. Now, what did Jesus do? So he gives encouragement. They give discouragement. Jesus kind of, he says, okay, let me fix this for you. Verse 54. And he put them all out. You know that song, sha-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. There's the door. Use it. There's the door. You know, sometimes you just got to get rid of, and I don't mean get rid of them in that way, so I didn't say that. Sometimes you just need to get away from people who are negative. Remove them from the situation. They have nothing to do with it. Don't listen. None of their business. I don't want to listen to negative people. I don't mind. Now, I understand. I don't want someone also coming saying, hey, what's going on over there? No, everything's good. No, people are killing each other. Tell me the truth. But I don't want negativity. I would remove people that, look, anything that's pushing you away from being more solid in your faith, you need to remove that in your life. Be careful who you allow to influence you, whether it's in person or online. You know, one of the things, and I'm not being political here, I'm just saying, one of the things that has really disturbed me about our country is the way we're handling this. It used to be when there was a problem, regardless of what we believed, we all just said, you know what, we're in this together, let's work on it. But it seems like everybody's drawing lines in the sand. And they're trying to make it a political thing and saying, hey, we have, what is it called, the unseen, why don't we work together on this thing? Remove the negativity. Find people that encourage you and avoid those that don't. I hate to say that. And then what happens? What else will make it receive? Verse 54. Jesus got rid of the negative people, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. Wow. Grabs her hand. She's dead. Arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Now, it's about lunchtime. That sounds really good right now. You know what happened? You know what will make your faith really triumphant? Victory. You see, when God brings something in our life, we're not timid about it, and we're triumphant in it, that means the next time something comes that's worse, we're okay. Because we've already experienced victory over there. You see, the more victory that you experience in your life by faith, the stronger you are to face the next battle. You're just, sometimes you're just not ready for it. There's things early on in my Christian life, even just working in a church. I didn't want to, you know, it's like I was glad that I wasn't the pastor. People come in with some problem. I'm like, oh, that's just a little over the top. You know, I'll pray for you, but I think you should go talk to Pastor Esposito about that. That was really good. I can't do that anymore, okay? But you know what? Listen, people come in the office, I got this problem. And they throw it out there like it's the first time I've ever heard that. Like I'm going to say, whoa, I've never heard that. I have no clue what you're, you know, I've heard it all. And you know what the good thing I could say? I've seen it all too. I've seen God work in the situation you're in. I've seen God work in other people's lives in that situation. And you can have victory over that. Oh, you can. The more victories you experience in your life, you say, I really don't like prayer. You pray and as a direct result of your prayers, God does something. You know what that strengthens you to do? Pray again. And now you have a harder problem and you're like, you know what? I've already prayed for this thing and I've seen God work. I can see him work again. Seeing God work will make your faith triumphant. Now the choice is ours this morning. And again, I know we're in this whole COVID thing, and I'm even sick of hearing the name, but I understand where we're at. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being, but not even COVID. What's it going to be 6 months from now? It could be a year from now. You're facing something, and you're like, you know, you're going to have an option. Are you going to be timid in your faith, or are you going to be triumphant? If you can get through what you're going through now, you're going to have confidence in God to get through what he brings or allows your way later. Can I just tell you something? I like smooth sailing. I just do. I don't like drama. But life is drama. And it's going to come. This is one day. down the year, it's another thing. So handle what you got now, triumphantly. Learn what God is trying to teach you. Be with us Thursday night. We're going to hear about that on Thursday night. Very important. But let's be triumphant in our faith. I'm looking forward to this whole thing wipes away. We're in the new building. We have a church service. Everybody's there. It's packed. We're ready to go to serve God and say, I'm stronger now because of what we've went through. I'm ready to go. I want to be more outward in my faith. I want to share what God did in my life with somebody else. You're not going to do that if you don't get it now. Let's pray together. In the stillness of your home there, and I hope that it's still when we get to this point. Where are you at? I think frustration is starting to set in as this goes on. Some of you are facing some struggles. Could be financial also. You know, we could be fearful for the future. And by the way, I understand that. Am I going to have a job when this is over? Some of you that own small businesses and your struggles, by the way, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. I pray for our church family every day of the week. But don't let that overcome you. Yes, there'll be some struggles. Yes, there could be some challenges. But can I also tell you something? You also have some opportunities to see God do something in your life by faith. That will strengthen you. So let's trust Him this morning. If you're tuning in, and maybe someone invited you to tune in, thank you so much. But I'll tell you one thing, you cannot have faith to be triumphant if you are not a member of God's family. We are not a member of God's family just because we're human. We're only a member of God's family because there was a time, a one-time thing in our life where we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, where we were born again, where we became Christians. If you don't know for sure, 100% for sure, without any doubt, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, we want to help you with that. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was on an Easter Sunday. I trusted Jesus Christ after the service, just like a service like this, and I would want that for you. If you're not 100% for sure, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, but you would like to talk to someone about that. We will not be belligerent, will not be, there's a number there you can text. If you'll text us, we'll get back with you. We will share with you from the Word of God how you can know for sure. Let's pray as we finish our service this morning. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for this story. Lord, there's so many elements in this story that we have to fight through, all of us. Good people sometimes struggle. Good people sometimes give advice or encouragement that, although it may sound good, it's not scriptural. We are to live by faith. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage us and strengthen us to be able to live by faith. Be with us. Father, I pray if there's any out there that are timid, and all of us have a fight to keep from being like that, I pray you'd help us not to let fear win. Help us to be triumphant and simply believing what you said, despite all of the circumstances and voices to the contrary, so that faith will win. Be with us now. Give us a great afternoon till we meet together tonight at 5. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.